Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Hello and welcome to Sunday night's main event on the air with the help of Vape Nation, taking your vape shop experience to the next level. Visit vapenationcanada.com for locations. My name is Jason Agnew, joined in studio this week by a man that feels as though he was robbed and is here to once again take on Dan Lavransky in the six-pack challenge, Mark Andrada Cien Almas. You can have those names now because he doesn't use them anymore.
Oh, that's so sad for him. I'll take them. I will take them. Also, I may have been robbed by Dan Lavransky, but I was more robbed by all the AEW fans that got in line before me.
Oh, we'll tell that story because there were no tickets going to the man that always seems to have tickets. As mentioned along with that, yes, the six-pack Stomping Grounds challenge will be on deck in hour two, plus Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Insider and an all-jobber edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, as well as your feedback in what was a bit of a sleepy week in WWE land. Taking a break, coming on back with the news, you are listening to Sunday night's main event.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to the show. So as I was saying, a bit of a sleepy week in the world of WWE, but not so much for AEW. To absolutely no one's surprise, AEW All Out tickets sold out in less than 15 minutes. Now, this event is, of course, taking place at the Sears Center in Chicago on August 31st, serving as the one-year anniversary of All In. Now, the ticket sellout was no surprise, but the speed of the sellout and apparent demand for tickets seems to be greater than ever, and Mark Andrada, you fanned that out the hard way.
Yeah, the final number of those people who were in the queue and tried to get tickets was 72,500. And I was somewhere in the 27,000 mark.
And you logged in there about, what, 15 minutes before?
Yeah, I logged in 15 minutes before, and then I waited 20 minutes, 25 minutes in the queue, and then the screen flipped to, this show is sold out.
Yes.
So, yeah, great. If you do the math, you have that many people in line, and if each of them is buying two tickets, that means there was the potential to sell 140,000 tickets for this event. Now, granted, some people may have logged in on multiple devices, but still, this demand is insane.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, they have the ability to sell out a stadium show, and they're not even on TV.
Not even on TV yet. Not that they needed the ticket sales help, but on Thursday, AEW officially announced that All Out will feature Jon Moxley challenging Kenny Omega. Now, as you'll remember, this was the final angle on the Double or Nothing show. So as per the norm with AEW, this makes total sense as far as booking goes, and that's a refreshing thing to say in the world of wrestling nowadays, Mark.
Can you imagine something making sense?
Ooh.
Oh, I don't even know what to think. Let's not get swept away in All Out news. Remember, next week is AEW Fighter Fest, and the show is going to be free. Fans in the U.S. can get it on BR Live, and outside the U.S. can get it on Fight.tv. All you need is a login and membership. which is also free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're still waiting on broadcast details for fans in the UK and Ireland.
Yes,
sorry, guys.
Something will be different there. It still is going to be free, though. It seems that they've set that precedent of it being free. And there's a bit of debate over this because clearly they could have made money off this event.
Yeah.
But being, I'm looking at what these guys are doing, and being an organization that seems to be very fan-friendly, this seems like almost a thank you to fans. We're willing to stream this live to get our name out there, to promote our services as well. And yeah, we know you're going to pay for the one down the line, but this one's on us.
It's great.
It's really nice.
My goodness. Treating the fans with respect?
It's kind of crazy.
Get out of here.
So if you are getting this event, here's what you got next week. It's going to be Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Pentagon, Phoenix, and a partner. John Moxie versus Joey Janela. That will be crazy. Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin. Hangman Page versus MJF versus Jimmy Havoc versus Jungle Boy. That'll be an interesting four-way match as well. Mm-hmm. Nyla Rose versus Rio versus Yuka Sakazaki. And Christopher Daniels versus Seema. This is a fun event. It's going to be canon as far as their storylines go, but is kind of straying off the beaten path of where they are headed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just, when you say this is going to be canon, I smile.
Why is that?
Because everything makes sense.
Yes, it really does.
Two people that will not be on any AEW cards for a long time will be Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis. In what was considered to be a surprise, the couple is re-signed with the WWE for a five-year extension.
I mean, I put that in there being a surprise. Were you surprised?
No,
I was.
Not really.
No?
No, I wasn't really surprised. I mean, they came in and had a baby right away, which is, I mean, very smart. If you want to have a baby and you sign up for a company that will give you money and maternity leave, then go for it.
Do they? I guess they do get maternity leave even though they are independent contractors.
Well, I mean, they're still getting some, they're getting benefits, right?
The way I looked at this was you have a lot of people leaving and wanting to leave. Mike and Maria are not, you know, brand new performers.
Sure.
They've had runs already. Well, Mike not so much, but Maria definitely has had a very successful run in WWE. It spun her off onto reality TV. They're parents with a kid. The good part about this is they've got a solid income for the next 5 years. The bad part about it is the fact that they are going to be on the road a lot. So I'm wondering if they've negotiated their schedule in this as well to be home a little bit more.
Are they going to be on the road a lot? Have they been on the road
a lot?
They
have been. I mean, they've been doing 205 Live and house shows and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they still adhere to the WWE schedule, but they've got guaranteed money. So, you know, when you hit that point in your career, someone like AJ Styles, for instance, as well, he re-signed. And honestly, I don't blame him that much because he's put in a lot of work and now wants that solid paycheck. And despite WWE's sagging ratings, you know there's still tons of money. It's guaranteed.
Sure. I think it's a shame. And I think a bigger shame for me with those re-signings was the Usos.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine a three-way with the Bucks?
Yep.
The Lucha Brothers?
Yes.
And the Usos?
That one surprised me because they're young. Because they're young, and I thought they were going to go.
And Trinity would have been great in the women's division.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
Alrighty.
I like Naomi.
Do you?
I do.
I'm not that huge a fan.
Really?
Nope, not that huge a fan.
I like those shoes.
Let's talk about the G1 because all the participants were announced this morning. In Block A, Kazuchika Okada, Zack Sabre Jr., Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, Evil, Sonata, Bad Luck Fale, Lance Archer, Will Ospreay, and Kenta. Block B, Tetsuya Naito, Tomohiro Ishii, Juice Robinson, Toriano, Hiroki Goto, Jay White, Jeff Cobb, Shingo Takagi, Taichi, and John Moxley. Mark, what do you think? I mean, I know you're a huge New Japan fan. What do you think of this lineup?
I'm very excited about it.
You got a huge...
Jeff Cobb?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, there's lots to be excited about.
I'm curious to see, I mean, how the crowd continually takes to, you know, John Moxley in there. And I think Kenta is, this is going to reignite him. I think he's now working with something to prove.
Yes. Yes. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about it. I've been watching the G1 every year for a while. I mean, I think maybe 2014 was the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I watched every single event. It's my favorite time of year. I'm very excited about it. Speaking at the Celebrating Women in Sports luncheon, Stephanie McMahon said WWE has been promised that they'll be part of the forefront of change that's coming in Saudi Arabia. McMahon said she believes that they'll have a women's match there in the near future.
Oh boy.
Ugh. Can you imagine the propaganda following this match?
Yeah.
We will never hear the end of this.
No. That's all we're going to get over and over and over again. And it's
I'm tired of first evers with these people.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, women's rights. WWE's leading the way in women's rights.
Go away.
For those of you not interested in NXT spoilers, you may wish to skip the next minute or so here. But to me, this is more of a formatting story as opposed to a spoiler. And it is newsworthy because at this week's NXT tapings, William Regal announced a breakout tournament for Performance Center wrestlers that have yet to debut on NXT TV. I mean, we've heard about a lot of the names that have signed, and this is going to be their debut. It's an 8-man tournament, and it features, and let me try to give you both of the names here for all of these. So Jordan Miles, ACH, versus Boa. Isaiah Swerve Scott, that was Shane Strickland. He'll be taking on Cameron Grimes in the first round. That's Trevor Lee.
Who we've already seen on TV.
I guess so, right?
Ugh.
Have we seen Trevor Lee on NXT already?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's back in this tournament. Bronson Reed, that's Jonah Rock, versus Dexter Lumis. Samuel Shaw, do you remember Samuel Shaw from NXT? Sorry, from Impact, mm-hmm. Mark?
Yep.
He was a Dexter character that is now actually being called Dexter.
Great.
Yeah, this is not good. Angel Garza, that's Garza Jr., versus Joaquin Wilde, DJZ. So that is what's happening. Now, the first of these tournament matches looks to be airing on June 26th. The finale is what we're going to be getting here in Toronto at NXT. Do you like this, or do you think it's too much all at once? Because I look at it seeing that I'm interested in seeing all these guys in their new incarnations, but along with that, a lot of them are going to be on once and lose right away.
I think that's okay.
Do you?
I think it's okay. They'll be able to figure it out. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I like it. I like it. I don't love that they've changed everybody's names, and they've gone back to this, and I feel like this is a reaction to AEW.
Maybe.
This is a fear that they're going to build these guys who have their real names, and then they're going to leave.
That's, you know what, that, although, it should also be that it doesn't matter, because we just saw the prime example of it not mattering with Dean Ambrose and Mox, and it doesn't matter, and if, you know, even more to that point, AEW is not like Impact, and I brought this up a bunch of times, where they don't say, formerly known as Ty Dillinger, formerly known as Dean Ambrose. They don't even mention it. They just go along their way, and here's our character.
Yeah. We know who this person is.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about who they formerly were.
Any fan watching that product knows exactly who they were, so why bother making a reference there?
Other things to look forward to in the coming weeks of NXT are Damian Priest, formerly Punishment Martinez, which is not a great name change if you ask me. He's making his debut, and Malcolm Bivens, formerly Stokely Hathaway, scouting talent at ringside looking for clients. Still no sign of Robbie E and his new Outliers group, though.
Yeah, I follow Robert Strauss on Instagram, and he keeps posting all these photos, and he has this new character that seems to be, you know, buying talent, and he's more like a sports agent, and he's all about money. I'm curious to see this change that is happening here, because he was like Robbie E. He's a Jersey Shore guy. He's coming in, he's playing a totally different character. He has a new look going for him. From what I can tell on social media, looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a similar character, right? Because he's kind of like, he was a younger douchebag and now he's an older agent douchebag.
Okay.
Right? So it's like that character grew up a little bit.
Okay.
And became like a mogul.
Still a douchebag.
Still a douchebag.
Flipping over to the world of MMA, Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier took part in a press conference this week to hype their UFC 242 match on September the 7th. Nurmagomedov proved once again that he doesn't understand the economics of fighting, stating he doesn't think that Conor McGregor deserves a rematch against him. And he said, the last 3 years, he has only one victory in amateur boxing. How does he deserve a rematch? I mean, yeah, you're right, Khabib, but also, do you want to make some money? Because if you do, you probably want to fight Conor. Maybe just for endorsements, because when it comes right down to it, the UFC pay-per-view and the way things work right now, not doing pay-per-view with ESPN, I don't know if they necessarily make more money, even if there are more people buying into ESPN+.
Sure, maybe he just doesn't need or want the money.
Maybe.
One guy who does understand the economics of the sport has finally decided to call it quits, and that's Chael Sonnen, when he lost in the second round via TKO to Laito Machida on Friday night. Sonnen then laid down his gloves in the center of the cage, grabbed a mic, and said, quote, I had a hell of a lot of fun. I had a good run. Scott Coker gave me a 5-fight deal. He let me honor all 5 fights. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm walking out. I appreciate the memories, and goodbye.
Okay.
End quote.
Yeah. Now, to offset Chael's retirement, just one day later, Fedor Emelianenko signed a multi-fight deal with Bellator, and they are promoting it as the Last Emperor Retirement Tour. President Scott Coker said the company wants to take him to a lot of countries and cities that haven't seen him for a long time. My prediction? Chael returns to fight Fedor in his very final fight on this tour. It's Chael Sonnen. He says he's done. He lies for a living.
You're not wrong. My prediction for this is that the merch for Fedor's return will be fantastic.
The Last Emperor?
Yes.
Why? Well, that was a movie. Was it a Disney movie?
No, you're thinking of The Emperor's New Groove.
That would be great.
Would have great merch.
Would indeed. All right. On that note, let's take a break. We are going to come on back. We'll talk about WWE TV this week, which just gets harder and harder to watch. But we'll go through what happened on Raw and SmackDown. Mark is still laughing. We will be back. More Sunday night's main event. Don't go anywhere. He's the Sarkalot of the nation. He's the hippest dude in
creation. He's a hat-cat in the Emperor's new clothes. I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f***s, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f***s, tough guy.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
You know, a lot of people say that Rey Mysterio did the right thing. He relinquished the title because he had a shoulder injury while fully acknowledging that your shoulders were not fully on the mat during Money in the Bank. He was honest. He was heartfelt. He was a gentleman. And yet you still felt that you needed to slap the cochina clutch on him.
Yeah, so?
Thank you for that in-depth answer.
I was born a flex. Yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Money. What I really want to see. Welcome back. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. And that was a clip from Raw this past week. And Mark, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can kind of speak about negatively about Raw. I wanted to try to be constructive with where we were starting here because I looked at the... Why is that funny? Is that...
You're trying to be constructive.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to help, Mark.
Yeah?
I'm trying to help here because I looked at this and on Raw, I mean, that's a clip of like, you know, the U.S. title picture. And they've just done something where Rey Mysterio had to relinquish the title, right?
Right.
And I never understood why it was just given back to Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You're right. It doesn't make any sense.
Because if you don't do that, like tomorrow we have this Fatal 5-Way. It could have just been you add Joe into this mix and he's one of the competitors and you have six guys and maybe you add a seventh or an eighth, maybe you have eight guys and you do a tournament. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, a tournament. Just, you know, NXT is also doing a tournament that we just talked about. Tournaments are kind of neat if positioned properly. And I also think they have the ability to make a star, perhaps even a new star.
Sure. And here's the thing that I don't understand about any of this. For years and years, I've been hearing that Vince McMahon doesn't like tournaments, right?
You're right, because he doesn't like to call them tournaments. It's one of those weird word things.
Right, but he'll call them a classic?
Something like that, yeah, right?
Sure, I guess. But I mean, I don't see a lot of tournaments. I like tournaments.
Me too.
I like it.
Sure. If not done all the time.
Sure, not done all the time.
But there hasn't been one for a while.
But, I mean, we have a friend, Gary, who always says that the thing that he's missing from wrestling is stats. He wants stats, which I understand how that could be very difficult with house shows, and it would be impossible to keep track of that and have it make any sense.
Right.
Especially, they can't keep track of this and have it make any sense for adding stats.
They tried doing something like that in TNA at one point, and it was a complete disaster.
Right. I just don't think they went about it the right way.
Well, it's Impact. It's Impact and TNA. They go about a lot of things the wrong way.
But a tournament is a great way to give somebody who's looking for that sporting presentation what they want while still giving them sort of the WWE, for lack of a better word, nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. A tournament would have been great, but here we are again with a five-way match and then Joe just gets the belt back.
And on Monday, like not this past Monday, but the Monday before, it was just all these guys coming out, music, say something, It seems like every show, that is what we see. It's so predictable. It's so boring. And because they did it in a way where all of these guys are coming out and there's just this, it turns into a tag match after that, right? It turns into a fatal five-way. They're all made so generic.
You just described the first half hour of every Raw for the last decade.
But that,
music, say something. Music, say something.
And don't talk over one another. You say your line, then I'll say my line, then you say your line again, because that's how an argument works in wrestling.
Right. But I mean, Becky and, skipping ahead, Becky and Lacey talked over each other a bunch this week, and that wasn't good either.
No, and what that is, it's WWE falling in love with the old John Jones, Daniel Cormier promos, and you know, UFC does this, and listen, the UFC has bad ones as well, but everyone remembers that John Jones one, because when he thought he was off the air, he started really chirping Daniel Cormier, and really hyping up that fight, so they've been trying to recreate this, and it's just like, the thing is, they're not recreating it and giving these women lines. They are giving these women lines. And that is essentially the problem.
Right.
As opposed to embracing a character and being able to speak in the language of that character.
I mean, I don't mind Lacey Evans in that she's irritating. I find her so hard to watch. And I guess that's good, right?
Is it?
Like if she's a heel? Because what else are we doing now? Like who are the good heels? Baron Corbin, annoying as all hell.
Okay, I mean I do have a bit of a different opinion of Baron Corbin. Listen, I don't like that he's main eventing all the time. I don't care to see him in the ring all the time, but then again, I also am overexposed to the product and have a hard time watching the same matches over and over, or any matches over and over, because they're not special.
Right.
Looking at Baron Corbin from a performer point of view, the way he takes in this dialogue and delivers it, the guy is good on the mic.
He's very good. He's good at it.
He delivers his lines well. For this brand of wrestling, he's actually good at it.
Yeah, I agree. And the fans react. They're booing him out of the building on Monday.
But it's not equaling ratings. And it's not turning into a match that I want to see. I don't care to see him get his ass kicked over and over because I've seen it so many times.
Right. There was a moment where it was exciting that he got his ass kicked when the threat was that he was going to be off Raw.
Do you remember that?
Remember when he was losing the general manager thing and then everybody beat him up? That was when they tried to turn the, quote unquote, turn the product babyface?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, oh yes, that's right. That was awful.
Yeah.
But that was awful.
People were happy to see it. People were excited. That was the one time I can think of that people were excited to see him have his butt handed to him.
I don't know if it was necessarily all that, though. I think that maybe the audience there and some people watching that are a little bit more naive than us who follow it at this level thought, oh, the McMahons are going to make changes? Yeah, the McMahons are making changes. Where I came on here and anyone else that was co-hosting with me or Meltzer or whatever just went, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
And nothing did change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in regards to the Becky, why is Becky still Becky Two Belts? Why is she still why was Lacey referring to her as Becky Two Belts? She has one belt.
Yeah, because it was catchy.
Okay, it's not. Wait a minute. It wasn't catchy. It's not catchy.
Becky Two Belts? I thought Becky Two Belts was catchy.
How is that catchy?
I liked it.
I was like,
oh, Becky Two Belts. I'm into it.
I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan of it. I understood it and sure it can work when you have
two belts.
Becky One Belt doesn't exactly have the same ring to it either. But why even
exactly.
bring it up?
So that's why you still call her Becky Two Belts.
Okay. Why don't you just call her Becky? Just Becky.
Well.
Also on Raw last week, we saw Bray Wyatt. We saw the Firefly Funhouse, which has fans divided, I feel. I think since last time you co-hosted with me, when we thought they had given everything away, they actually went backwards. You know what I mean?
No, what do you mean?
They're not showing him in the mask as much anymore.
Oh, yes.
There's only little glimpses on it. And it's like they kind of figured out that, oh, no, we've gone too far. We're not debuting this guy yet. We've got to go backwards, even though we've already revealed where we're headed. The thing tomorrow is, yes, Bray Wyatt is supposed to be at Raw live. We don't know what that means, but when he debuts, what do you expect? Maybe I'll ask you two questions.
Okay.
What do you expect and what do you want?
Okay, I'll go what I want first.
Okay.
What I want is a live Firefly Funhouse.
Me too.
I want a set
yes.
off to the side.
Oh,
I want you know, Brother Love's Love Shack, whatever it was called. That's not what his segment was called.
Yeah, what was it called?
But he had like the, evangelical, you know, he had that thing going.
Yep.
Or like the funeral parlor or Piper's Pit or
Snake
whatever.
Pit.
Snake Pit.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of those, like I want a set off to the side. I want him to do an interview segment with somebody. Perhaps Aleister Black?
Oh, man.
Have I lost my mind?
I think
it's just somebody who doesn't have a program right now.
Well, Aleister Black, we were going to talk about that later, but if we want to go there now, sure. Aleister Black's promos, I don't understand. And I'm not saying I don't understand the way the promos are going and what he's doing. I don't understand the format of those promos for Aleister Black.
Right.
Aleister Black is a mysterious, dark, brooding character with a cool entrance. He's like the vampire that
very
comes
cool
up and drops off and walks down to the ring, kicks some ass, doesn't say a word. That's who Aleister Black is to me.
Yeah.
Why is he giving me monologues every show?
It could be worse. He could be talking to a mirror.
Well, I don't know what happened to him. Mojo Rawley is, of course, what you're referring to there. And he was never even given a chance.
I think he had a great chance with those mirror promos, and I think he didn't grab the brass ring.
Okay, that could be it. Aleister Black, here's another thing about him, though. He's now being put over Randy Orton at house shows.
Right.
So there's
maybe
clearly...
maybe that'll be the program.
Yeah, I guess that they're going to go with Randy Orton, but to me it also doesn't make sense when you're in the back and you're demanding someone to pick a fight with you.
Right.
I really don't get the whole promo now that I go back on what I just said. I don't like it for anyone. I kind of get what they're saying, but why?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But I mean, we can just say that over and over again. Well, we can say that over and over again. We just go through point form on the show and just go, well, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. So
what do you think?
As a blanket statement for the whole thing.
Generally, yeah. What do you think in regards to Bray Wyatt at Raw tomorrow if he does appear? What do you think they're going to do?
I haven't a clue. You know what I think? I think he's not going to appear at all.
I mean, is he just there for filming?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't necessarily think the time is right.
Or he cuts a promo in the ring and he finds a reason to slide under the ring and put a mask on, you know?
Unless he cuts some sort of, like if they're going to do a Firefly Funhouse live, which would be awesome.
It would be cool.
They're going to do it in the ring, though. We know they are. They're not going to put a set off to the side.
No, I want a set off to the side.
Me too, but I don't think they're going
to. There's a spot to do it.
Sure, there is. The place where
JBL or somebody would drive their car into.
Yeah,
yeah,
put it there. That's fine. But they're probably not going to do that. If they do it, they're going to do it on the stage or do it in the ring, like one of the two, right? If they do that, what I could see them doing is he is that character. He's not the mask guy yet. We don't even see the mask. But instead, something goes wrong during the segment, intentionally,
mm-hmm.
and he gets mad. And he takes it out on some sort of production person or cameraman or something like that.
Right.
And you see his fury, and it just kind of ends.
Okay.
And that type of thing. I can see them at least getting to that level with a bit more of a tease. Because I don't want the mask yet. I don't want the mask at all, to be honest with you.
I don't want the mask at all. It's too late. We've already seen the mask.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll just continue going with more makeup, and maybe they'll add a hat and a
brother,
scarf.
Come on.
And he'll just become Chris Jericho.
Jericho.
I don't know. Honestly, okay. I didn't
Chris Jericho.
I didn't pick up on it when I was watching it last week. Did you immediately get it? It was after looking online and seeing the, you know, all of the fans come out and say, oh my goodness, Bray Wyatt's face paint is like Chris Jericho's. The mallet was shaped like, had the dice markings on it. And there were definitely shots thrown out to AEW. I didn't see it initially. Looking at it like that, I now see what people are saying. Did you pick up on it?
My head tilted a bit, and I just kind of chuckled. I mean, yeah, great. They're going to start referencing. My favorite reference that people, somebody's, that a wrestler's thrown out is in the Jericho versus Okada match in New Japan.
Okay.
This was right after Super Showdown. Did you notice they did the tombstone spot? They went and did the spot that Undertaker and Goldberg did.
Right.
Where like they were going to do the tombstone and they were going to reverse it.
Yeah.
They were going to flip around and reverse it.
Sure.
But they both fell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jericho and Okada did that spot. And then they did it again and again and again. And it was just this like, well, we can do this spot, you jerks.
You remember back to WCW and how Jericho wanted to work that program with Goldberg and Goldberg said no.
Oh, right.
I forgot about that, way too. Back with Jericho and Goldberg.
Oh, that's two middle fingers.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And if anyone would think about that, it's Chris Jericho.
Oh, absolutely.
Who is an absolute genius.
Yes.
I say, the Madonna of pro wrestling, recreating himself over and over and over again and always trying to stay relevant generally, doing it very successfully.
Yes, I agree. It was just such a subtle but not subtle burn
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anyone else think about that and talk about that.
Laughing because they did it, like I said, they did it once and then they just kept doing it. I was like, this is embarrassing.
That's
like,
pretty
you're
funny.
Just embarrassing these guys.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little SmackDown. I know we've touched on Aleister Black already, but more about SmackDown because it was the Miz show. Not Miz TV. It was just the Miz show for half an hour. We'll talk about that next. It's Sunday night's main event. I feel my lonely room
when I'm dreaming of you. Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
And then I grated your sweaty, disgusting face across the steel cage at Money in the Bank. And how did you win? By literally slipping through my fingers out of your jersey. And finally, Roman Reigns systematically destroyed you at Super Showdown. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team.
Everything is awesome when we live in our dream. Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. There's a clip from SmackDown this week. If you happen to miss the first half hour of the show, it was all Miz, all the time, on the mic, in the ring. You know, Mark, I like the Miz as a heel.
Right.
I cannot stand this guy as a babyface.
Really?
It doesn't translate for me at all.
I don't know what to make. I mean, he's charismatic, and I don't know what to make of him because he was a heel.
Yeah.
And then his reality show came out, and I mean, that reality show babyfaced him like nothing else.
He's likable there.
He's
yeah.
So likable sure. on the show. So, I mean, since I've seen that show. And I kind of enjoyed that show, you know, as far as an unscripted show goes,
right.
quote-unquote unscripted show.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hard time unseeing how likable he was.
And that might be, because I haven't watched it. I have not watched it at all, and that might be a bit of a disconnect for me, because all I know of The Miz is, I know I've heard that he's been baby-faced in that show, and yeah, he's a dad, and, you know, good dad to his kids, lovable, etc. Not necessarily the douchebag that he was when he was doing reality TV.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that side of him. So I'm watching this just knowing the Miz character that I knew that's a heel and I liked as a heel.
Yeah, he's kind of a lovable goofball on that show. Like, he's kind of like, you know, that like stereotypical doofus dad?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, the ones that you and I play in commercials all the time.
Exactly. I was about to say it's exactly it.
That's the regular casting for guys our age.
Except the difference is he's in great shape, and we are not.
That's a double right
you
there.
You look great. I've got some work to do.
Now, we saw that happen on Tuesday. To me, this was also a regression, because Shane and Miz are done. I mean, they've been done over and over, and Miz never really got his retribution. But now Shane is on to Roman Reigns. Why are we going backwards here and seeing this again? And where does it lead? Anywhere? Like, are Miz and Roman going to be a tag team? That has to happen, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess that would have to happen at some point. I fear that this is going to be another attempt at a buildup for Roman Reigns. They're just going to heat up Shane McMahon even more as the biggest heel of all time. And then Roman Reigns eventually will defeat him for the title.
Okay, this is going towards the other rumor that I do have listed out to talk about, which came out this week. And I don't know how this got started. And I don't know if there's any, you know, fire around the smoke. And that is the fact that there are people talking about Shane McMahon to be the one to dethrone Kofi Kingston of the title.
We say dethrone as if Kofi's had the title for a long time.
Well, he's had the title. He's gotten some wins with the title.
Which is more than we could say for most people.
Here's the difference. Here's what I think is special about Kofi. He was the fan's choice.
Yes.
And that's rare in WWE. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this actually might bring more fuel to the fire, is the fact that he is the fan's choice.
Yep.
And the McMahons hate the fans.
Yep.
So who better to dethrone him than the most hated McMahon?
And it will also add a fuel to the fire of Shane being the biggest heel.
Yeah.
That Roman Reigns will then defeat.
To try to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface.
As the babyface.
The babyface. Thank you. Yes, the babyface. Once again, but if you're doing that though, then Mark, then why is Shane already tangled with Roman in the feud, in that feud, as opposed to some, because there's been no attachment between Shane McMahon and Kofi to this point.
Right. I think they do this a lot where they go too far,
Bray Wyatt scenario,
exactly.
Just like we talked about.
Yeah. I think
so.
They
now
go
they're going
far,
backwards
too fast, and they got to pull back, and now they're going to pull back and they're going to let Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre get into a thing, or whoever.
Yeah.
And then
Shane.
Thank you.
And Kofi.
Yes.
Oh,
I really
boy.
Didn't put a sentence together. There.
Well, no,
you
I knew
that for me. Thank
I knew
you.
What you meant, and yeah. I mean the thing is because right now Dolph Ziggler is just a holdover. I mean Dolph Ziggler was only put into this mix because Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens were not headed to Saudi Arabia. And if that title was going to be defended, you needed to find someone, and they went to Dolph Ziggler for really no apparent reason.
Right.
So he can easily be removed from the mix. To jump right to Shane here, I mean, he's claiming he's the best in the world, and it's like he should have the title if he's the best in the world. I guess it's an easy angle to play out.
Yeah. And Dolph's got to go. He's got a whole comedy career that he's got to take care of.
Yeah, he is trying to do that. That is true.
There's a smile on your face.
I've seen him. And I'm going to keep smiling.
Well, he's going to be in Toronto. He's at Yuck Yucks, right? Or is he at Absolute?
No, he's at the one. He's doing the same venue for SummerSlam. He's doing the same venue as Mick Foley, which is directly across from where they have the virtual reality things.
Oh, he's doing the Rec Room.
Yes, he's doing the Rec Room. That's okay. What he's doing. So he and Mick Foley are doing that on the Saturday around...
Oh, that's a terrible... Have you been in there? That's
no.
A terrible venue.
Is it a bad venue?
Yeah, because there's no... It's not a separate room. They just curtain it off. So you can hear the arcade and the bar. It's really loud. For a band back there, it's probably fine. But for comedy where you want to hear the words...
Yeah.
It's not the best.
Okay. Well, the best is clearly Comedy Bar, but we'll talk about that in a little bit because tickets are now on sale. It's fun. We'll talk about that in a bit. But before we get there, let's also talk about a couple other things that went on outside of the WWE this week. One of them being the lovely tweets about Pride Month by Dana Warrior.
Okay.
Dana Warrior.
Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And if this is we're never going to get an apology of any kind, right?
I don't think she has to apologize.
Right. For
it's
sure.
Not what they weren't her words. Of
yes.
course, what we're referencing here for those of you that don't know, and I think everyone does, but just in case,
right.
is the Ultimate Warrior, Jim Hellwig. I know he changed his name to Warrior, whatever his name ended up being. He has made speeches in the past where he was definitely homophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, among the many groups that he went out of his way to offend. And to me, it's not a matter of I don't expect a wife to apologize for her husband that has passed because, yeah, I guess maybe her views and his aren't necessarily the same. But also, it's his image mm-hmm. that she is using, his trademarked look.
Right. And they're raising money for Pride events or for Pride charities. Is that what's going on?
I don't know even if that's it. I just noticed that she's been very vocal about all the little warriors and the Pride campaign. I'm just like, why are you aligning these two things?
Well, you know what? If this ends up flushing all his other stuff, all those hateful words down the toilet, then great. And if little kids never have to hear that, then even better. And if that's the way it goes, for me personally, I'm fine with it. But I mean, again, it's not really like, it's not my cause. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, nor is it mine. I just found it so startling that the WWE, because they're clearly behind this as well with Dana Warrior, who is working behind the scenes there now as well with talent and somehow, some way working as a writer. Don't know what really qualified her to be a writer, but regardless, she's there.
It might also just be a job, you know?
I guess.
Just a way to take care of her, you know, after her husband passed away, kind of on company clock.
Yeah, I suppose. Listen, she's just not Vicky Guerrero. Right, you know what I mean? Right.
Who's a great character.
An amazing character.
And they took care of Vicky Guerrero as well, right? Yeah.
I mean, they made her do a whole bunch of terrible things, absolutely, but, you know, she was being paid for it, and I guess she was in on it, right?
Yeah, and she ended up studying law, right? Like, she became a lawyer with the money that she was making with WWE.
She did go back to school, yeah. So it's
good for her.
Anyhow, I was just surprised that they would put this so forefront with this person and this image, as opposed to Finn Balor, who, although it was not motivated, the Balor Club for Everyone, last year they did at WrestleMania, it was a clean slate to start with, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And you'd rather just, Warriors stuff just went away.
Go away.
And never talk about
just
it.
Just go away. It's
right.
Always going to be slightly
your
tainted.
Point that, like, this could be shining a light that people will then find those promos or whatever, those interviews again.
You Google.
Yeah.
Google's powerful. It's like the internet's like, you know, peeing in a pool.
Yeah.
You can't get it out once it's up there.
Once it's out there, yeah.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the AEW ticket sales. We didn't get much into the fact that it's Mox and Omega. This is something that I guess you will not be seeing live, but you will
be... Don't underestimate me. I might still pull this off.
You might. We'll follow that along. But they're participating at All Out. I'm stoked for this match. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm stoked for the match too. I think it'll be. I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited to see what Mox is going to do now that he's not in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said he might end up being my favorite wrestler of all time. Maybe not of all time, but of this year. I'm excited to see him in G1. I'm excited to see what he does. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see him look like he's into it.
That is the main difference,
yeah.
Is when he steps into the ring and he looks engaged. He's not just disconnected labor. Like EC3, have you seen any of the clips of EC3 doing his intro where he just doesn't care anymore when he's pointing at the clearly detached from what he does not want to be there anymore, it
right.
seems.
Yeah. Last I saw EC3, he was stuck in an elevator.
So. Yeah. How did you like those sketches?
Like is a strong word. I mean, I get it. It was something different on the show.
It was horrendous.
But like EC3 was just holding that cup and laughing the entire time.
But that's the thing.
What is this?
But that's like, even look at the way that, okay, it's scripted in an elevator and it's just so juvenile. Carmella says you can't talk unless you hold a hat. That's something that is done to kindergarten children when people are talking over one another.
Yeah.
What is this? What am I watching? I am a 40-year-old man, and I'm still watching this garbage. Why are you insulting my intelligence at every opportunity? Why are you insulting my intelligence with the way that Alexa talks to Nikki Cross backstage? Why am I constantly being insulted while I am watching this show that I am trying to like?
I don't think this is... See, you're taking this personally. This is not a reflection on... I don't think this is a reflection on you. I think this is a reflection of the people who are putting this program together, and they're doing this to the highest of their intelligence.
What? Have they employed kindergarten children to write? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I
think. Well, I
think
that might be better at some point, actually, because this is completely ridiculous. One of the programs that we have enjoyed is all the TakeOver shows. TakeOver is coming to Toronto. I was saddened to find out this week, Matt Riddle, who I was under the impression would be main eventing this card, and I'm going. This is the one thing for SummerSlam weekend. You're going, right?
Me too, yeah. I got you.
Yeah. So I'm going to see this with Bartender Dave, and I was stoked to see Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole. That's what I thought the main event
me
was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't need more Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole. And apparently that's the match.
Right. Well, I mean, we're not going to see him at all. He's not going to be...
He's not on the card right now.
Right.
So, I mean, I know this could be spoilers, but this is more so news-oriented to me. I mean, I don't know if this is... It's been said, and it came out that, oh, they're not worried about pushing Matt Riddle fast because he's going to be there for a while, which I also think is a mistake, because he is older.
Right.
He's in his 30s, too, yeah. Right? Yeah, so, I mean, get him up on the main roster, and let's do something...
Oh. Yeah, I disagree with you there.
Okay,
don't put him on the main roster. Don't put anybody else on the main roster.
But I would like to see him in the main event here.
Right.
Do you want to see Gargano and Cole again?
I mean, it'll be a good match.
I'm tired.
I'm curious to see if they can do it again.
Okay.
Because they've had some really great matches.
People always say, oh, it'll be a good match. Oh, it'll be a good match. A good match to me is more than in-ring.
Right.
A good match to me needs a storyline to lead up to it, and I guess it's a rubber match. But also... does Cole keep it? Does Gargano get it again? It's a rewind to me if either one of these guys have it.
Right.
I don't need to see it for a third consecutive takeover. Even if you look at here, let me compare it to this for you. Jericho and Omega.
Yeah.
There are big gaps between those matches.
Big, big gaps. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm interested again. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be another big gap here before we see that rubber match, which will ultimately probably be for the AEW title.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it already.
We might not get that match until for another year. That might not be until All Out 2 or All In 3, depending on how you want to look at it.
That's right. It could very well be, and that's fine. Let it breathe.
Oh, it'll be amazing. A full year as Jericho as heel champ.
Yeah. Cutting those promos.
Yes.
Of you owe everything. Cody, you owe everything to me.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Jericho, I think some of the stuff he's been doing in New Japan that I've watching has been a bit, I mean, you're more so a New Japan fan than I am. Have you found that he's a bit overexposed?
I don't think so.
No.
Not for me.
No?
I mean, I think there are people who feel that way, but not for me. And I'm one of the few people that liked the way the last pay-per-view ended when everybody booed. The audience booed.
Yeah, they did.
It's like, you know what? That's different because usually at the end of those pay-per-views, you'll get a promo from the champ and everybody will applaud and everybody will go home happy. This time, Jericho beat up Okada.
Yeah.
And Jericho cut a heel promo and called Japan a BS country, which I was like, that seems a bit forced. You know what I mean? But whatever.
A forced is a good word. I think that sometimes he runs a little bit forced. In the Japanese stuff, and now that I think about it, I'm wondering if because there's also a language barrier.
Right. So
and
they couldn't understand him anyway.
Yeah, but he's doing that intentionally for the words that they do know.
Yes.
He simplifies things.
Yes. Which then comes off differently to
the American audience. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. And then when Okada went to that was helped to the back and everybody realized that Okada wasn't going to cut a promo, everybody booed. I was like, oh, that's great.
Right.
That's a great ending to this. And I'm curious to see where it goes next.
Well, next up for Jericho is going to be Naito, right?
That's the rumor. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, again, looking at it from the outside, because I'm not a huge fan of the product, but looking at the booking scenario, one of the things that I think Jericho needs in Japan is a win.
Yeah.
He hasn't won. And I think it's at the point where he needs to.
Does that mean he walks around with Naito's title and the AEW title at some point?
I think that's fine.
Do you remember when the Young Bucks had all the titles?
Yeah.
That was amazing. To me, that's when I really was like, wait a minute, I liked the Young Bucks, but when they were draped in gold and they just had so many belts, they were coming to the ring with so many belts, I was like, man, these guys are really something. Like, they're really unstoppable when they had all these belts and all those belts mattered.
Right. And that was right before they were about to do their program with the Hardys, right? Wasn't it around there?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. That sounds about right.
I thought perhaps that was where it was, because then you had Impact Wrestling parody the whole thing with the belt collector, Austin Aries.
Right.
Right? And they basically took that on. Anyhow, fascinating to see where AEW continues to go, and I do think it's pretty great that in a couple weeks, Fyter Fest is going to be a free show for their audience. Because they like their audience.
Yeah. What are you doing? Do you want to drive down to Florida and watch?
No, I'm not driving anywhere. I'm going to watch it on fight.tv.
You're right. We should fly.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what we are going to do. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about AEW because they are the fun and hot topic to talk about. And we're going to do that with Dave Meltzer next. We continue on. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Disney World is a good time to go to Disney World. Yeah. I'm just saying.
If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday Night's Main Event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.